Venture Capital with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi, and welcome to episode number 148 of the Robots Podcast. My name is Jana, and today's episode will be all about Robert Bosch Venture Capital. But first, as always, the latest news and developments in robotics.
Harvest Automation, the Massachusetts startup focused on developing and delivering robots for use in horticulture and agriculture, began shipping their HV100 plant-moving robot to commercial nurseries last year. In 2014, they will introduce Harvest Knowledge, a cloud-based data collection system which will enable their robots to report information about the fields and the plants they are moving. Harvest Knowledge will then report this information back to the growers. Since the first of the year, Harvest Automation has announced two partnerships which will enable the integration of Harvest Knowledge with software solutions designed specifically for the horticulture industry. Last Friday, January 17th, brought the culmination of the Zero Robotics Spheres Challenge. Spheres are roughly spherical robots, each about the size of a bowling ball, that can navigate in microgravity. Several spheres are aboard the International Space Station now. The competition began online with student teams programming simulated spheres in a virtual environment. After several rounds of this, finalists were selected to participate in the championship stage, programming the real spheres on the ISS. Their programs were transmitted to the ISS by NASA and loaded and run on the spheres by the astronauts. All of this was broadcast on NASA television. The Zero Robotics Spheres Challenge is an annual event. For more information, have a look at the ZeroRobotics.org website. Korea's Masan Robot Land project in Changwon City has finally broken ground. It was originally proposed in 2007 as part of a larger plan to stimulate Korea's robotic industry by generating public interest in consumer robots. The project was placed on hold for almost 2 years, while an assessment of its environmental impact was completed. Part of the multifaceted project, Phase 1, now scheduled to be completed in 2016, will include a robot research development center, convention center, robot exhibition hall, and private facilities such as themed parks and youth hostels. As usual, you can read about the latest news in robotics on robohub.org.
Jan Westerhuis is investment partner at Robert Bosch Venture Capital in Frankfurt, Germany. He's involved in all phases of investment processes, from preliminary evaluation to management during the investment period. Jan spoke to our interviewer Per about Robert Bosch Venture Capital, the types of projects they consider for funding, the ideal timing for funding applications, and the process of receiving and managing investments.
So welcome to the podcast. Today I'm here with Jan Westerhuis from Robert Bosch Venture Capital. And we're going to talk a bit about how they see the autonomous robotics market rather than the industrial robotics market, which of course is mature. You're an evergreen fund and you invest in this from now on and forever, I guess. Can you tell me why you sort out the autonomous robotics part as an area of interest for you?
Thanks for having me here today. It's an honor to be. I think the answer to your question comes quite easy. Our financial sponsor, Robert Bosch, is an automotive parts and components company by DNA. And then they added many, many other businesses, which are extremely important for us today also. But think in a couple of years, autonomous cars. This is where everything comes together, where you need the sensing part, where you need some form of artificial intelligence, and you need an actuation. Now, autonomous cars don't necessarily look as robots, if we picture robots as little boys, but in the end, they are robots, and we're very much interested in all kinds of technology that will ultimately go into this direction. Now, on the path of going there, we might come across some totally different applications where you also need a high degree of autonomy.
Well, is there any area that you're looking at that is kind of around the car but tangential to them? Are we talking, for instance, transportation within warehouses, or is it something totally different from cars and transportation at all?
Yes. In the end, if we do an investment, we don't so much care about the application today. We are happy, especially in robotics, if there is a real application. That's a prerequisite. Otherwise, we would not really do the investment. Now, the application might be somewhere else. It might be in a warehouse. I mean, the holy grail of really going into autonomous cars still takes a lot of development. And then you have the whole part of legislation coming in and so on. So this is not around the corner. Steps to this, like parking assistance or maybe riding your car in a traffic jam at low speed, or maybe on an autobahn, which is a fairly simple environment. This will come gradually, but really autonomous cars is out there. So what we're looking for right now on as stepstones is some sort of semi-controlled environments. This might be in homes, this might be in warehouses, this might be in hospitals, and maybe Bosch does not ultimately want to be in the business of providing warehouses with automated systems. That's a business that we're not in today. We could do an investment as Robert Bosch Venture Capital if the technology that the company, that the startup is using in their business is very interesting. And then we're trying to, you know, also get Bosch interested. And the best situation that can happen is we do an investment in a company that has a real application, whatever that might be. And as a separate agreement, the two companies enter in some form of joint development agreement, or you know, maybe Bosch produces some parts or whatever. This is not a must-have, but it's a great to have if this situation comes around.
Yeah. I guess many of the people listening to this podcast, they're researchers, they're professors, they're students. Can each of these three approach you for an investment? When would you be interested? When should they come to you? When are you interested in talking to them?
You can always approach me.
Okay.
That's clear. Well, we're not an angel investor. So if you need $50,000 or $200,000 to get your company started, that's something we would not do. We're, there's a simple reason for it. We're just too big. Our fund is about $270 million in the moment, still growing. So this would take too much of our capacity to tend those type of investments, unfortunately. We're starting to get interested when you have a prototype. A prototype where we can bring in our technology people to see if it really holds what the company promises. And I think this is maybe something also of one of our USPs in contrast to pure financial investors. We do have those connections to Bosch. We have connections to the Bosch R&D, which are 15,000 people. And I always say, you know, it, no matter how strange this new technology is that I see in the new company, it takes me five phone calls and I have a guy on the line who did his PhD exactly in this field and is happy to talk about it. So we do want to bring in those guys. Of course, everything needs to be handled with care and trust. And I do understand that, you know, some of the startup companies are not really easy about talking to somebody else who knows what he's talking about their new inventions, new technologies. We're aware of this and we do respect this. But in the end, this is the reason for our investment, technology, right? So if you have a prototype and you have a good understanding of the market and know where you want to go, this is the stage where we come in. And this is usually a B round in financing. It might be an A round even. This kind of depends on how much has been done in university already. You know, sometimes it's amazing what comes out of especially U.S. universities, almost ready products. And then we start to slowly engage with the company, look at the technology. I think the main issue nowadays in robotics is still the market. What's the application? That's the big, big question.
Hmm. So have a prototype, have a clear idea of your market, and then you can they can approach you. What kind of response would they get from you? What is the? How does that process work?
Well, typically this whole process, if it comes to an investment, would take something about 6 months, ideally, I'd say. This might sound very long for some people, but in the end, I think that's what most diligent VC investors just take. And I tend to divide it into two phases. You know, maybe the first 3 months is, you know, get to know somebody on a conference or get approached, and then you talk, you kind of take some interest. And then I usually like to get two things. One is a business plan. That's my investor heart on this side, where you, of course, slowly describe the technology and a little bit of how the thing works. But then it's mainly about market, about financing. How much money do you need? When do you think you want to go to market? Do you have customers maybe already? And so on and so on. And the other part that I request is that they send me some technological information that goes deeper without disclosing anything that they don't want to disclose, but a paper that I can discuss with our technological experts that I mentioned. And then, you know, the process goes on for a couple of weeks and you send information back and forth. We usually have a telephone conference then with our technological experts, and so they can ask their questions. Because many times, the first response that I get from my technology guys is, yeah, we looked at this 10 years ago already, and you typically this approach has this and that problem. If they solved this, it's very interesting. If they didn't solve it, you know, have them come back when they did. And so this needs to be clarified. And at this point already, you know, I've introduced the startup company to Bosch. And sometimes at this very early stage, those people are starting to work together, which is very interesting for me to watch as a potential investor also, because it shows me there is some real interest. Doesn't mean that this necessarily is a great investment or a great company, but at least the technology guys start to take some interest. Okay, and this whole thing usually goes on for something like a couple of months. You know? You don't have daily meetings. So, and then comes this point where we really get interested. We say, okay, the technology really is interesting. We have the feeling that the market is real. We do like the company. We've talked to the guys a couple of times. And then it would typically take another 3 months to come to an investment. And this is the time where we you know, really make up our mind about the market. We talk to a lot of people. We talk to potential customers, maybe to real customers already. And then in the end, maybe you need to find a co-investor. We only take minority positions. So many times, if there is not a prior investor in the company, you need to find somebody else. This needs to be put together. And then in the end, of course, the legal stuff and deal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this is actually then the work starts. You know, then you're in the company, and we do take board seats. Then you need to start work with the management and really get this thing off the ground.
Mm. Interesting, because I think, as I said, I think that that's something that many of the people listening out there have never done and don't know anything about. We heard here on the conference, we're at Robotics Innovation Challenge in Eskilstuna now, and they're very gracious for allowing us to use their space and also organizing the interview with you. Erin here talked about in her speech about iterating and having an idea, pivoting. Do you see if somebody comes to you and you work, but you don't really find out something that is interesting, is it okay to come back with a totally different thing or slightly different thing? Are you patient with that, that sometimes we don't find the correct idea the first time?
It's okay if you don't hit it the first time. There is, on a negative note, there is those kind of companies that I always say call technology looking for an application, and they have this new great market every 2 months. And usually there is one simple question. Okay, where is the guy who worked in the industry for 20 years and can really tell me why this is a must-have and why this is a must-have now? Especially in robotics, I often have the problem that I see companies doing things which ultimately will be there in 100 years, right? Definitely. Is this going to be a success in the next 5 to 7 years, which is the typical investment period for VCs? Not necessarily. A lot of things need to come together, and it usually takes somebody who has been in the industry, in the targeted industry for a long time, and knows why this is going to shift to a new technology. That's the key. So if you think you have your great application, the best thing you can do is attract somebody who worked in this industry and take him into your company.
And then
that's a good constellation. That's something I like to see.
Your original idea to his experience.
Right.
And
if somebody is willing to give up his job and join a startup because he's so convinced that this will change the industry that he's been working on for 20 years, that's a good indication.
Then, of course, we all hope that people approach you, they get investment, they get successful, and 5 to 10 years from now, as you say, you want out. So this is a period, I think, that scares many entrepreneurs because they feel that something is going to happen to their baby, their company. How do you usually handle that with replacing maybe the startup management with the permanent management? And how do you, what would you like to tell the listener about accepting that and preparing them for that? Because I think if they're prepared, it's easier for them to handle it.
Well, first of all, I must say that I'm scared by this too, because maybe one fundamental difference between us and a pure financial investor. The pure financial investors that raise a fund, they need to get out at a certain point of time, which is usually 5-6 years, but then they start to get nervous and their investors want their money back. We as Robert Bosch Venture Capital don't have this problem primarily, but secondarily, because we always co-invest with those guys, we are basically in the same situation. Having said that, I think once you engage with any form of VCs, you need to be prepared to sell the company within the next 5 to 7 years. That's the way. If you don't want that, find another form of finance. And there's nothing wrong with that. Not every company is really suited for venture capital money, and not every entrepreneur. That's number one. Number two, not every entrepreneur wants to really sell their company on short term. Some entrepreneurs, and I find this especially true in Germany, they want to build a small, beautiful company that they can run with five guys forever on a revenue level of 5-6 million euros. You can live off of that. That's nice. And maybe they even think to inherit this company to their sons, which they don't have. If you want to do this, venture capital is not for you. If you say you have found something that can really make it big, and you're willing to take the first step, and you're also willing to, at the given time, step back from a function in the company and be the founder, still having a major stake in the company, then that's a good basis to work on. There is exceptions, but history has proven that the people founding the company are not necessarily the right guys to grow companies, and the guys growing the company to a level of 20 million revenue, for example, are not necessarily the ones that you need for a 200 million revenue company. It takes different characters, different people, and we get all kinds of mixed reactions. You know, some are really happy, especially technology guys that founded a company. Some of them are really happy if a CEO comes in and they can go back to inventing stuff. And some think they want to grow the company until $1 billion and can do it.
We have seen the funding landscape change a bit over the last few years with crowdfunding coming in. And we see that some projects get quite substantial amounts of money and will therefore be prepared in another way and mature in another way than the same project might have been 10 years ago when they approach you. Do you see a difference if a project approaches you before, so to say, or without having done, for instance, a Kickstarter campaign, having hundreds of thousands of customers? Or is there a difference between the company that's done that or has not done that for you?
I must say I did not really closely look at any company that had a crowdfunding done before. So from a theoretical point, I think it's a great and interesting way to found a new company. I don't have a problem with it. You know, it's especially for us, it's very good because we don't fund the very early companies. So to get to your first couple of hundred thousand dollars, that's a great way. It's a way of angel finance for us. And especially if you have a very early interaction with customers or some form of sounding board, that's even better. It's great. Can only make the company greater.
So basically what we're saying is that you're not an angel investor, but Kickstarter and other angels could combinedly prepare the company for approaching you, so to speak.
Absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, from a pure cap table technical point of view, one has to sort out what to do with maybe 200 different investors in the company, although it's tiny amounts. But
don't get any equity, so they will... I don't think they will dilute the
equities. Usually do it for different things.
Yeah. So when you look at all these different projects that pitch to you, you also then have to look at their market. Have the attitude you meet in those markets changed over the last few years? When you go to talk to the food industry today, is it different than when you did it 5 years ago or a few years ago?
Well, I tend to see that industries change slowly. Very slowly. There is very few industries who really fundamentally change within a couple of years. I mean, even for successful robot companies like iRobot, they tried for a long time, you know, with different products, high price, lower price, professional market, not so professional market. And as far as I understand, the real breakthrough they got is when they changed the business model to online sales, because they could not, you know, break into the sales model of the incumbents. And unfortunately, this is the case in many, many industries. But on the other hand, if you really have a disruptive business model that comes with your technology, this might change a lot. And I think that the business model is at least as important as the robot technology, because in the end, the customer does not care so much if this is a robot and what kind of system you used and what kind of new SLAM algorithm. They want a solution to a problem. And usually it takes a lot of time and money to develop this solution around the core technology that you started the company off with.
Yeah, that's the thing we see, that where the invention takes a small percentage and
exactly.
Then it just skyrockets above to the major production effort is just 85% of the work.
And it does. And sometimes it's not really challenging work from a technology point of view, but you need to do this.
Yeah, to get the quality of the product high enough out there. So we're very grateful for you taking the time to do a podcast interview. And we hope to hear from the companies you fund soon.
Thank you very much. And it was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
And that's all for today. Find out more about Robert Bosch Venture Capital on our website at robotspodcast.com, where you can also find all our past episodes. The next podcast will air in 2 weeks' time. Until then, goodbye. Venture Capital with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.